Okay, a good Monday night to everybody. Thank you for joining the Hashkafa Chabura. I was asked tonight to speak about marriage, specifically the new realities of marriage. Someone else asked me, are there any times, you know, I think people already know some of my shittas about marriage. Not my shittas, the Torah's shittas about marriage. And so someone asked me to comment on the fact that I always say you have to listen to your wife. Are there any times you shouldn't listen to your wife? So the short answer is no. There's no times that you don't listen to your wife. Rav Shlomo Zalman famously said at his wife's Levaya, I have nothing to ask you for Mechila for. There was never any disagreements. Okay, most people are going to have disagreements. Most of us are not Rav Shlomo Zalman's Madrega. But I've given a talk over the time, and I'm going to use the same skeleton that I usually give. 10 Torah tips to a healthy marriage. I hope you're not one of it's one of the talks that I've given that's actually the most listened to of any of the talks that I ever gave. So I don't know how many people listen to it. I'll try to give a little bit new perspective and also specifically speak about these two additional questions that I was asked. When I asked my Rebbe Reb Mordechai Willig for his advice for me on marriage, he said one very simple thing. Whatever your wife says, just do it. Whatever your wife said, just do it. Don't ask questions. Don't analyze. Don't philosophize. Don't wonder, should I, shouldn't I? Just do it. The Torah says about Avram Avinu that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Kol asher tomei lecha sara shma b'kola. And the Gemara in Megillah teaches us that Melamed shesara imenu nevua haisa. And Rashi quotes, Lamadnu shaya Avram tofel lesara b'nevua. So the new reality of marriage is life is not only about you. When you're in college, so you're basically free to just think about yourself and your own growth and you, which is, you know, normal. Hopefully you'll do a little chesed. You'll think a little bit about other people. But be'ikar, you're mostly focused on your own growth, your own development. So Hashem doesn't want us to be like that. He wants us to walk around not thinking about ourselves. He wants us to walk about thinking about other people. That's why he made us get married, because the whole goal of marriage is it causes you not to think about yourself, but to think about what can I do to help this other person? What could I do to make this other person better? What could I do to make this other person happy? What could I do to care about this other person? Because that's what all of Yiddishkeit is, the root of all, we'll talk about it. Number 10 is humility. To me, the most important midah for a Jew to have always is humility. Humility is the root of all mitzvahs ben am lamakom. The root of all mitzvahs ben am lechavero. Ben am lechavero, it's all about Hashem. Ben am lamakom is all about Hashem. It's not about you. Ben am lechavero is all about other people. So the goal of marriage is to train human beings to only care about other people, to care about someone else, making the other person happy. And that's the idea of the importance of love. The Gemara says in Yevamah Samech Beis, Ha'oiv es ishto kegufo, the Rambam quotes, it's also la'alocha, Ha'mechab de yosim gufo, Ha'majach banu v'benosim b'derech yishara, Ha'masiyan samach leperkan, if you get married early, Olav ha'kosav omer v'yadata ki shalom o'alecha. So if there's real love, if there's real caring and real giving in the house, so there will be shalom. The Gemara says in a few places, Ein isha ela liyofi. Certainly beauty plays a role. Beauty is very much in the eyes of the beholder. The Jewish concept of beauty is not the same as the non-Jewish concept of beauty. Obviously, your wife has to be attractive to you, and you're not going to get married if your wife is not attractive to you, but different types of people are attracted to different things. And you'll learn if you want a relationship to last, then it's not just about the looks, because she doesn't look that way when she wakes up in the morning. She doesn't not going to look that way after 10, 15, 20, 25 years. It doesn't work like that. So as marriage goes along, so the beauty, you realize that the inner beauty is worth a lot more than the outer beauty, although that's what attracts you in the beginning. And there needs to be some beauty, obviously. The Gemara says, Ein isha el liyofi. The Gemara says in a few places, I was just looking for it quickly, I couldn't find it, somebody else will find it for me. The Gemara says in a few places that a man has to have tremendous hakaras hatov to his wife because she saves him from his yetzahara. It's a very deep, I believe that that's a very deep idea. Some people could read that as a very crass kind of idea, but I don't view it that way. I view that if a person, if a husband and wife really have love and really have care and really put the other one's needs first, and the relationship builds. At my wedding, Rabbi Gershon Kramer said to me, you think you love your wife now? After a year, it'll be times 10. After 2 years, it'll be times 100. After 5 years, it'll be times 1,000. I smiled at him politely and said, thank you very much for telling me that. But I had no idea what he was talking about. After about 15, 20 years, I began to understand what he was talking about. After about 15 years of marriage, you begin to understand what it means to build a life with somebody, to give to somebody, as we're talking about in a second. Item number three is, Rav Dessler writes that the way you come to love is through giving. Giving brings the love. It's not like you love somebody, therefore I want to give to them. Rav Dessler famously says, Ahava is from the Lashon of Hav. Hav in Aramaic means to give. Ahava comes from Hav, and Rav Dessler's famous word, Ahava, he told us on the scene that we tend to think you love something, and therefore you want to give to it. But the truth is, the reality is the opposite, that the more you give, the more you give, the more you build, the more you go through things together with a person, the more you go through life with a person, the love grows and the love grows and the love grows. The more you give, the more the love is. When I was younger, people used to build model airplanes. So I used to put all these hundreds of hours in taking every these tiny little pieces and welding each piece together. When you finish with that airplane, oh my gosh, this is my airplane. I put all my koiches, I put all my life into this, I put all my avoda into this. Look at this airplane. Oh, it's unbelievable. You were like attached to that airplane at the hip. Nobody, your little kid brother would like move it in one direction. You'd freak out and don't touch my airplane. Don't touch my airplane. Because the more you give, the more you give to something, the more connected you are to it. Then the Gemara says also, Mechaved Yosem Gufa. Every woman needs to feel respected by her husband. She needs to feel like her husband feels like she's the most important person in the world, bar none. That includes more than your parents, more than your Rebbe. Your wife, you have to be Mechaved, and you have to marry somebody that you respect. Mechaved Yosem Gufa. Now the Gemara Shah quotes, Dainal Albisha Begadim Uchubadim Yosem Yemenu. Yeah, okay. So the Gemara says you should buy her clothing, especially on Yontif. You should buy your wife clothing because that's not because of the clothing. It's because you're showing you matter to me. I'm buying you something. I care about something that you care about. You are the only thing that matters to me. You never criticize your wife, ever. There's no reason to ever criticize your wife. It's a bad idea. She has to always feel covered from you. You know, I would never criticize her, Mordechai Willig. So why am I criticizing my wife? You have to think about it that way. I would never criticize my mother. I shouldn't. I would never criticize my father. So don't criticize your wife. That's Rav Shlomo Zalman famously said he has nothing to ask Mechila for. Number five, you have to appreciate your wife. You have to thank your wife. And you have to tell your wife how much you appreciate her. And you should appreciate her. And there are going to be plenty of times in life that you're not going to appreciate her. And the times that you don't appreciate, where you think she's annoying you or she's nagging you or she's this or she's that or she's not looking at things your way, during those times you have to remember especially all those things that you do appreciate, and you have to hold your peace. You have to hold your peace about those things. And not everything that you think in your mind has to be said. We're human beings and we get annoyed by stuff. But that's Ezer Kenegdo, Zacha Nasislo Ezer. You have to look at her like she's an Ezer. Even when she's connected a little bit, you have to realize that that's the Ezer. And everything that she does for you, you have to praise, you have to thank her. Thanks for cooking me this meal. Thank you for doing this for me. Thank you for buying me this piece of clothing. Thank you. Just always say thank you. That's why the Gemara in Ksuba says it's always Kala Nova Chasuda, like Beis Hillel, not Kala Kamoshehi. You have to always tell your wife how much she appreciates you, and we would be wise to remember the words of Shlomo Melech and Mishlei, Hachayim b'hamavis b'yad halashon. There's no place where that's more true than in marriage, than in a relationship. Hachayim b'hamavis b'yad halashon. You wanna have a miserable marriage? Well, then just criticize or just don't appreciate or just don't say positive things about the person. That should be the default. Always say positive things. You have to also see things from your wife's perspective. That's also an expectation. Rabbi Krohn once said at DRS, right? Said last week's parsha, "Vayavo gamar Rachel, vayahav gamas Rachel, melea vayavoni." Maybe 2 weeks ago, "Vayavoni mo od sheva shanim achiros." So the pasuk says, "Vayahav gamas Rachel melea." Unbelievable! Yaakov loved Rachel more than Leah. That's what it says in the Chumash. And the next pasuk says, "Vayar Hashem ki snua Leah." Hashem saw that Leah was hated. So frek the oilam. What do you mean? It doesn't say Chas Hashem the Achmin would hate. It just says he loved Rachel more. Said Rabbi Krohn once when speaking at the DRS, when it comes to your wife, it's not the way you see it, it's the way she sees it. That's what the Torah is teaching over here. She felt hated. Doesn't matter whether you hated her or not. Don't confuse me with the facts. The truth makes absolutely no difference over here. It matters the way she saw the truth. If she saw it as Vayar Hashem, and how did Hashem treat it? Hashem treated it, she was hated. Even though Chas V'Shalom Yaakov didn't hate his wife, he just loved one more. But since Leah viewed it as she was hated, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Vayar Hashem kisnu Leah v'yiftach es rachma. As I said, Rabbi Krohn, there's a tremendous amount of truth in that. It doesn't matter what you meant. It matters what she heard. And you have to be very, very careful to not say that. The seventh thing that I like to speak of when it comes to marriage is that marriage is holy. It's holiness. And each of you are going to, and all of the inyanim of the marriage should be treated with a holiness, not with a pritzus. I'm not a fan of pritzus during marriage. Your wife has to be respected, and it's called kiddushin for a reason, because the relationship is a holy one. Yeah, of course, there's a physical piece to the relationship, but it's a very important piece to the relationship. It's a very intimate and meaningful piece to the relationship, but it has to be conducted with holiness. Everything has to be with holiness, and there's all kinds of halachas in Shulchan Aruch. My Rebbe Reb Mordechai Willig told me before I got married, study the following simanim in Shulchan Aruch, and then you'll understand at least the gedarim. We don't observe every detail of the halacha. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's Reish Mem. It's Chaf Hei and Evan Ezer, and I think it's Reish Mem. I forgot already. In Aruch Chaim, there's two simanim in Shulchan Aruch that talk about it. We have to remember that it's holiness, it's kiddushin. Like the Gemara says in Bava Kam, in the kiddushin, and the Gemara says in Maseches Sota Yudzayin Amud Alf, Dorash Rabbi Akiva, Ish V'Isha Zachu Shechina B'neim Lo Zachu Eish Ochlasan. Right. That's why Ish and Isha, you have Ish and Yud K, right? Ish is Aleph Yud Shin, Isha is Aleph Shin Hey. So Zachu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yud and the Hey. If the Lo Zachu, it's just going to be Ish, fire, not good fire. Your wife is going to, number eight, your wife is going to have the biggest influence on you in your life, more than your parents, more than your friends, more than your Rebbe. So choose wisely, choose someone who's going to have a good influence on you. And once you have made the choice, realize that this is somebody who has a very big impact. That's part of the Hakaras HaTov. Right? The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Kuf Tesem Beis, Un Ben Pelas, his wife saved him. Right? She said, what are you getting involved to? You're not going to win anyway. So you see the influence that his wife saved his life. You see the impact that a wife has on you. Now, there is a little piece of that you don't have to share every single little thing. You're going to share 90% of everything. Doesn't mean you have to, like I said, you don't have to be, your wife could have her own life a little bit, and you could have your own life ready also too. The most healthy relationship is not where like the two circles of mamish, every single thing you do together, and no one can breathe in the relationship. Everyone's on top of each other at all time, and then every single little thing you're doing, I know. That's not so healthy either. You know, it's like two circles that most of the circles are covered. But each one could have a little piece of their life that not every single little thing. That doesn't mean Chas V'Shalom you don't hide anything. It's just, but you don't have to be intimately involved in everything. That's what they like to say. There's Reim Ahuvim and Chasen V'Kal. You can be good friends sometimes, and sometimes you're intimate that you know everything. That's why the whole laws of Nida are that there should be a little. Cooling off is also good for a relationship. You're not like mamish on top of each other all the time. Each of you has their own identities and independent identities also. Again, you would never, Chas V'Shalom, hold anything back. That's terrible. You shouldn't hold anything back. But you can have your own life, and you don't. Not everybody has to know everything. You don't have to be an open book and share every single little thing of everything all the time. And that's why this hakhag is. And just my tenth thing is that, as I mentioned before, it's all about humility. It's all about humility that, humility is the root of all good midos. Forget about marriage, but humility is the most important midah for a Jew to have. It's not about you. What did somebody say? A good line last week about humility from C.S. Lewis? That you don't, what was, somebody know the line I'm talking about? That you don't think, true humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. Is that what he said? I don't think less of yourself, just think of yourself less. I think C.S. Lewis may have said that. Can anyone confirm or deny that report? Ezra, yeah, you hold the C.S. Lewis?
Treat I have it open on Google. True humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less.
Is that from C.S. Lewis? Yeah, okay. Somebody, I think maybe somebody quoted that in the name of Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. I don't remember. Somebody was talking about that. I thought it was a very beautiful, beautiful line. I have a few minutes for questions. If anybody has any questions, please feel free to ask.
What should be the approach when one spouse says something to the other that makes the other person upset or angry or frustrated? How should it be dealt with, like apology right away, or like kind of cool off? How much time is healthy? What's unhealthy?
It's a very good question, and this happens in every single marriage in the world, except for Shlomo Zalman, but every other marriage in the world. It happens every single marriage in the world. That someone's going to mistakenly let something fly and you didn't realize it was going to hurt the person. You didn't intend to hurt the person. You didn't realize it was going to hurt the person. Or you're trying to be honest. So look, every person is different in terms of how much time they need. Many people, like, after a certain amount of time, so, you know, it'll be a good time. You know, you have to know, you'll get to know each other, you know. Apologizing, those are very important words in marriage. I'm sorry is a very, very important word. I didn't mean it. I'm sorry. I feel terrible. That's very, very important words to say in marriage. I say it all the time. We have to say it all the time when something slips out the wrong way. So how much time is a good question, but it's good that you're worried about how much time. That's good that you'll know when is not the right time. Like the Gemara says, "Ein mefaisen es adam b'shas kaso," right? The Gemara says you don't try to appease somebody while they're angry. So that's one thing, you know, while a person's angry. But, you know, if a little bit, you know, it depends. It also depends how bad it is what you said is, you know. If you said something that's nuts, you know, that got her a little upset, so then, you know, you could probably say it right away. But if you got very upset, you might have to wait a little bit. But the truth is that, you know, it's really more about working on yourself. It's about learning the relationship. Marriage is amazing, it's beautiful, but it's also really, really, really hard. It's really hard. It's not like it is in the movies. Everybody, it's hard. The first 2, 3, 5, 7, 9 years, it's very hard till you learn somebody. You learn which buttons not to push, what not to say. It's beautiful, it's amazing, but it's work. It's work, it's work, it's work. It's really, really, really hard. It's beautiful. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to prepare you. You know, and even those of you already married, it's just the beginning. The beginning is actually the worst. It's the worst. The beginning is the worst because it just takes time till you get to know each other, what not to say, how to, you just don't realize. Oh, in the beginning, you're saying, "Oh, I never knew this about you," and then you start questioning yourself. What did I jump into this for? What did I jump into? Everybody. I mean, 90% of people. Everybody is, you know, "Oh my gosh, like I didn't know this about this. I didn't know this about the family. I didn't know this about the girl's mother, the girl's father, the girl's sister, the girl's brother. I didn't know these things." Every marriage has this. Every marriage. You got to hold on, take a deep breath. There's a reason why you chose this girl. There's a good reason. And you got to stick with it. You got to stick with it and you got to ride it and you learn the person and you get better. Anyone else? What do you got?
Can I ask a question?
Sure. And you're not asking about yourself. You're asking for your friend. I know.
Yeah. The first point that Rebbe made, that idea of whatever your wife says, just do it. Should that come from the belief that you assume your wife's always right? Or is it just an idea of that's a good idea for Shalom Bayis? Like, should you inculcate into yourself that they are right? Or it's just I'm being mavater, and even though I think I'm still right?
So... It's not an issue of who's right is not the issue. So I guess it's more like the second thing that you're saying, but who's right should not be the issue. It's not a question of right or wrong. It's your wife asked you to do something, just do it. There's no right or wrong. If your wife asks you to do something, then she's right because she wants you to do this and you should do it. So in that sense, she's right. It doesn't matter whether. In other words, it's the right thing for you to be doing because your wife told you to do it. So that's why it's the right thing for you to be doing. Whatever your wife says, you should do. That should be like the default. Now, again, you're not going to do it in 100% of the time. You're just not going to. But if Rabbi Will told me to do it 100% of the time, so hopefully I'll do it 97 or 98% of the time. And it's a mindset. It's like whenever my wife asks me to do anything, I say, like, for you? I'll drop whatever I'm doing. I'll do anything. Whatever you ask me to do. It's like, it's not a shy life. I've already trained myself. It's like you train yourself over so many years. Like, whatever your wife says, of course, whatever you want, I'll do. Whatever you want, I'll do. It's a training. It's a training. And it's not the pshat that you're a shmata. That you're a shmata. So it's not like that. And again, you know, if people are in a relationship where one person's really a shmata, that's problematic. You know, that's not a good, that's not healthy. If your wife is really mamish every second, again, there could also be somebody who's mentally not well who's going to tell you every second to do. I'm not talking, again, what I'm talking about is normal people and normal relationships and normal marriages. Obviously, if there's mental illness, so then that's a different story. We're talking about normal people who want, you know, it just happened the other day. My wife asked me on the way home, could you pick this up? I said, for you? Well, of course I'll pick this up. What's this, Shiloh? Of course I'll run. You got to run to do what your wife wants you to do. So it almost doesn't matter who's right. It's not about being right. It's about service. It's about service. Life is about service. Once a person realizes that life is about serving Klal Yisrael, serving other people, mm-hmm. serving your family, serving your wife, a life that's about service is a special, beautiful life. Again, you can't be a shmata. Look, you know, some people accuse me of being a shmata. Every time a guy asks me to give another shir, I agree. I'm also a shmata. But you think I have time for this? I don't have time for this. But I'm also a shmata. I really enjoy connecting with Talmidim. I enjoy and Hashkafa Shmuz is Taka, a nice thing. A lot of people over the years really appreciate it. If you look at this one, again, I said it a little different, but you can listen to the other one. It's like, again, most of the things that I say on Why You Torah, nobody listens. You know, not many people are listening to. But this one, people actually listen to. Apparently I gave it 6 years ago and I gave it 9 years ago. So anyway. Last question. Anyone have a last question?
Can I ask another one?
Yeah, nobody else. Then you jump in. All right.
So how does one make sure that they're not a shmat at the same time? You know, saying yes all the time, but like making sure that they're not giving off the impression they want to be the shmata.
It's a good question because, you know, some people have a natural personality that they just want to please people or anytime anybody asks him to do anything. I wish I had that problem, that anytime anybody asks me to do everything, I automatically say yes. When it comes to learning or teaching, I do have that problem. But in life, I don't have that problem. I don't automatically say yes to everything that anybody asks me to do. I'm not like that. But there are some people who are like that. And yeah, that's not healthy. How do you know? That's a good question. How do you know when you're being a shmata? So you have to ask people who know and who care about you and who know a little bit about marriage and know how it's supposed to work and know what's considered to be, you know, normal and what's considered to be. It's hard to know. It's a very good question. It's very hard to know because like I said, it's really hard work at the beginning and you could view your wife as being unbelievably demanding, but that's normal. It's normal in a relationship. It's normal to have the wife be very, very demanding. Because you don't realize you're demanding also because you're doing X, Y, and Z and you're doing your, you know. It's so important to try to look at the other person's perspective, like Rabbi Cohen said, based on that pasuk. It's so important to look from the other person's perspective. And I remember a few people will consult me early in marriage and saying, like, what did I get myself into? Like, everything I do is wrong and everything I do is never good enough and everything I do is not. And I was listening to him and he was wrong. He was wrong. Whatever his wife was asking of him was exactly what she needed, and she was right to ask of those things. It's hard to know. It's hard to know. You just have to have some experience of the way marriage works. Some of you, you know, again, and part of it is the question is, did you have a good role model mm-hmm. of marriage between your father and your mother? Some people have very healthy relationships between fathers and mothers, and some people watched growing up unhealthy relationships between fathers and mothers. So you have to know. You have to know what a healthy relationship is. You have to have your own self-esteem. You have to have your own self-esteem. You have to have your own healthy sense of self-esteem. And then ask questions. You know, you could ask, you know, in the beginning of marriage, you know, first of all, you could also talk it over with each other a little bit. Talk it over with each other. It's okay. That's okay thing to talk over. But if you feel like, you know, you're not getting agreement, then you should really talk to somebody else. Talk to somebody outside and say, is this normal that she asked me to do A, B, C, D every day, E, F, G, H, I, J, you know, so much? Is that normal? You have to ask people who know, you know, what's considered to be normal, what's considered to be not normal. It's hard to know. It's a great question. It's not easy to know. And different people probably function differently. Different spouses put different levels of demand on people. So it's not like there's like one level in every marriage, right? You got to know what's like normal, what can you deal with, and, you know, it's not pasha, but it's great. I promise you, it's not pasha, but it's great. Okay, Rabbi Isai, thank you for joining. Have a good night.
Thanks, Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi.